Buying suntan lotion online, Massachusetts could get some new tax revenue from that. I'm Carrie Healy, and this is Beacon Hill in 5. Our quick look at the week ahead in politics and government in Massachusetts. We're joined now by Matt Murphy with the State House News Service. Thanks for your time, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
The Supreme Court is sided with South Dakota in its legal battle with a Boston-based online retailer. The ruling basically paved the way for a widespread taxation of online sales. Is that actually going to happen, or is there something that needs to be done in order for the state to collect that tax?
Well, what's interesting in this case is that the policy that South Dakota was pursuing and actually won the case on is something Massachusetts is already doing. They, too, have been challenged in a court in Virginia by a major electronics retailer called Crutchfield Corporation, and that case is still pending, but I would expect that that may disappear soon as a result of this Supreme Court ruling. What Massachusetts did and what the Baker administration did last year was put in place a policy that required online retailers that do over $500,000 in business from Massachusetts customers to collect and remit that sales tax back to the state. They've been doing this for the past almost year now, and that is not going to change under this policy, which is why the Department of Revenue is suggesting that the Wayfair decision, while it certainly upholds the practice that Massachusetts is pursuing, it's not going to result in a big windfall, despite some Democrats, particularly on Beacon Hill, initially cheering the Wayfair ruling because they thought it would at least partially replace the money they were hoping to get from the millionaire's tax, which got struck down by the state courts earlier in the week.
So this isn't actually a tricky issue for legislators. They aren't going to be associated with a tax and spend scenario then.
They're not, but they could be. I mean, I think it bears watching what happens now. The administration says they have no plans to revisit their policy, and they've set this threshold on online retailers. But there are a lot of people throwing around numbers like $300 million when what the administration actually is collecting in these online sales taxes is only about $30 million a year. And if the legislature wants to look at this as a potential revenue source, they could look at forcing the administration to change that threshold and maybe capture more online retailers that aren't getting caught up right now in the DOR rules.
Last week, the so-called grand bargain was reached on Beacon Hill. Do you get the sense that it brought to us more clarity this week about which ballot questions may or may not appear on the ballot in November?
It did bring more clarity, but not total clarity. As I previously mentioned, this all kind of started with the Supreme Judicial Court ruling last Monday, knocking the millionaire's tax off the ballot, which kind of paved the way for this so-called grand bargain to come together. We know now that the union group, the Raise Up Coalition, has voted to drop their paid family and medical leave question as a result of this because the legislature has included that in a bill that they passed last week. What they haven't decided yet is whether to drop their pursuit of a minimum wage increase. Even though the legislature voted for a new $15 minimum wage and some other provisions, the Raise Up Coalition hopes to decide early this week, after taking a few days and over the weekend to think about it, whether or not they're going to go to the ballot anyway. And their ballot question is slightly different from the bargain legislation in the past and is currently sitting on the governor's desk.
It's officially now down to the wire for the Massachusetts budget. The last week of June is here. The fiscal year begins July 1st. So is it budgets that are top of mind this week?
Budget is top of mind this week, and the conference committee has been meeting. I think there will probably be a big push this week to try and get this out and done and delivered to the governor. The legislature likes to get these things done before the start of the fiscal year on July 1st and then give it to the governor, who will then have 10 days to review it and typically takes those full 10 days, which is why last week he filed a budget extension that would essentially give the state about $5 billion to keep paying its bills and stay open and avoid a government shutdown in case that a new budget is not in place for July 1st. And unlike in Congress, these are fairly standard and accepted here on Beacon Hill, and I would expect the legislature to also push that through this week as they wait for the conference committee to produce their final report.
Matt Murphy, reporter and associate editor with the State House News Service in Boston. Thank you very much for joining us, Matt.
Thank you.
This is Beacon Hill in 5, NEPR's weekly check-in at the State House. Also a podcast. You can subscribe to it wherever you get yours or at nepr.net/podcast. This is New England Public Radio.